Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Satan's just like the nice old man who's lived in that rent-controlled apartment in the basement since like the 40s, and the new upstairs neighbors have moved in and just completely destroyed his apartment. Welcome back to the internet's number one fake history podcast. It's the Lore Boys. I'm Ethan Palmer, who's going to be your Lore Boy Prime today. With me is James Miller and Peter O'Donoghue. Why don't you guys say hi?
Hello.
That was Peter, for the listeners at home.
I said hi, too, and the listeners heard me, but you didn't, because I'm on Push to Talk, which I'm removing right now.
Oh, yes. Jamie fucked up his Push to Talk.
I love it. We're going to keep that in, and the listeners are going to hear Jamie's delightful greeting twice. It's what the people want. It's what the people want.
Yeah.
There we go.
So this week's episode is a continuation of Skaven lore. So if you haven't listened to our first episode on Skaven, which was about a month ago at time of recording, make sure to check the description for a link. It'll be in there. It'll just say Skaven Part 1. It might say the subtitle, of which I do not remember what the subtitle was.
Oh, it's Convert to Horny Rat. I looked at it today when I was fucking around on our hosting site.
Right. So I guess we'll give everybody a period here who hasn't heard the first episode to go listen to it before we start spoiling stuff. But do you guys want to quickly recap what you remember from the last episode?
What we could do is we could all just like wait 1 hour while they go listen to it and then like be quiet for 1 hour. And then they can come back, and then we'll start up.
They'll come back, and they'll fill us in. Right. They'll let us know what they're doing.
I like the idea that you want to like record us patiently waiting, so it's like a 2.5 hour episode while we wait for them to do something else. We're just like twiddling our thumbs.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I remember some
getting up,
things.
No muting your mic. Nope. So what is a Skaven, I guess? Let's start with.
It's a rat boy.
Ratty boy. And what? IP, what franchise are they from? What are we talking here?
Warhammer 40,000.
Warhammer Fantasy. No.
Yeah, Warhammer Fantasy. Close, but no cigar. Frick. Warhammer Zero.
Past. Warhammer Past, not Warhammer Future.
Yeah. We talked about...
Sorry, the three Warhammers visited Scrooge.
Exactly, yeah. So we talked on the last episode about what the Skaven are. They're rat boys. They're addicted to this stuff called Warpstone, which falls from which falls as meteorites from the green moon Morslub. We also talked about the Griseers, who are kind of like the priest class of them. And we talked about their god, the Great Horned Rat, and how they have an affinity for bells and kind of making machinery. They live underground like rats do and pour out as kind of tides of vermin, some sort of vermin tide, one might say.
That's a stupid name.
Yeah. They call it Billy and the World of the Fantastic Walking Animatronic Dinosaurs.
It's like Billy and the Clonosaurus.
Yeah, so that's it. So last episode we talked about what the Skaven are. This episode I'm hoping to delve deeper into who the Skaven are. You know, everybody always asks, what are Skaven? Nobody ever asks, who are Skaven?
Yeah, nobody asks the giant rat how he's doing. So that's why they're so aggressive all the time.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about kind of their origin story. We're going to do their origin story pretty much. And then we're going to very briefly start to touch on how they come to be known by the other races, essentially.
Right.
Let's buckle up for some more rats, huh? This is the Skaven origin story. So, if we're talking about the Skaven, you guys should know that our story starts not with rats, but with men.
I see.
The ancients The ancient city of Tylos, or Kavzar in the dwarven tongue, was an ancient human and dwarven city located in the blighted marshes between modern-day Tilea and Estalia. So I don't think they were called the Blighted Marshes at the time. I think they're called the Blighted Marshes now, and we'll obviously find out why they're called that.
They just called them the marshes back then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just the regular old marshes. No blight here. The no blight here marshes. Like, welcome to, it's like there's like a welcome to town sign. It's like, welcome to the no blight marshes. You want blights? Take your business elsewhere.
Yeah, but obviously after the rat apocalypse, all those other letters have fallen off the sign. Yeah, so there's, exactly. There's just like the ghostly, like darker paint markings of where the letters used to be.
Yeah. It's now, you want blight? Take your business. And then elsewhere is just here.
Right? Yeah. I was just thinking, we haven't done a whole lot of Warhammer Fantasy. You giving me two countries bordered by a marsh is
I was just gonna say that.
Okay.
I don't expect you guys to know Tilea and Estalia. It's the fan service. There's fans who know more about this canon than you guys, obviously. There's a lot of fans who know more about this canon than me, obviously. Yeah. So for the people who know what Tilea and Estalia are, that's your little nod. You might already realize what city I'm talking about in modern day, because it won't be Tylos by the time we get to the end of this. All to say, we're going to be talking about this city, Tylos. This entire episode is going to be talking about basically this city, Tylos.
Okay.
So, like, this is before the rats took over. There's still traps with cheese everywhere. And yeah, like
everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
There's traps with cheese and dead rats in it. The traps are working. The traps are effective. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's cats that are fat and happy. Okay?
Yeah. There's that old mouse trap from like the 1920s that has a miniature gun on it. Have you seen that?
Oh my god!
Yeah. The pistol.
Imagine waking up at 3 a.m. to just a gunshot. Right.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw that. Like, you guys remember the folded pizza story? I'm sure our listeners also remember the folded pizza that we've basically like deified at this point. the last time I laughed that hard, like, to tears, like wheezing like a sore diaphragm, was when I was watching a video of shitty inventions, and then the one that just absolutely laid me out was that the gun with the cheese on it that you just load in front of a mouse hole.
Basically.
It was patented. The U.S. Patent Office was like, well, yeah, we got to make sure no one steals this idea from him.
It has to be an American invention.
Suspenders
right?
In a barrel walks in, wants to patent an idea.
Just like wearing a potato sack for clothing and got a jar of moonshine in his hand. Like
upside down so he can read potatoes.
So get your creative mouse traps, because we're gonna need them for this episode, right?
It's insane. It's gonna be insane action, right? We're gonna need some crazy contraptions. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
The fun's catching.
The fun is catching. The history of Tylos, the city that we're talking about, is kind of couched in a couple different accounts. Some of it's mythology. Some of it is like these, like, in canon myths that the people nowadays have, because all this takes place thousands of years ago.
Okay.
So, oh,
yeah, the city's been renamed, right? You referred to it as something else?
Yeah. It's different. It's different in modern day. We'll get to what it becomes by the end of it. But when it starts, it's this city, Tylos. We'll get into the history of Tylos. I'm gonna start us off with, like, the human myth of Tylos. And then later on, I told you guys this before we started, but I'm going to be referencing this fictional account called The Doom of Kavzar, which is, I believe, I'm not positive, a recounting from a dwarf perspective. It might be a recounting from a human perspective. But either way, that's kind of like another myth about the downfall of the city. There's a myth about the creation of the city, then there's a myth about the downfall of the city. Okay. So let's start with creation, right?
So those dwarves who walk around town with those really tight shirts that say cocaine and Kavzar on them.
The
two accounts of the human account and the dwarven account are actually quite similar. It's just they're at different angles. The dwarves will say that the enemy came from above, whereas the humans will say that the enemy came from below. But what actually happens is the rats are 5'5".
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be. So the holy book Bellona Myrmidia, which translates to the war goddess Myrmidia, it's just the name of a goddess in Warhammer Fantasy.
Okay.
Baloney? Begins with the tale of the tragically flawed Tilius, the legendary father of the Tilian people. So Tilius, in searching for a home for his people, would make a covenant with Myrmidia, who at the time was known as the goddess of civilization, beauty, and honor. So this is straight Greek myth. The city names ends in OS, and there's this guy named Tilius who's like, I'm a king, I have a tribe, I'm going to create a city for my people, I'm going to make a deal with a god to do it, essentially.
Okay. She's kind of like Athena and Aphrodite combined, I guess. Like,
yeah. I mean, she's also the god of war. She's also a goddess of war. It seems like the Tilian people know her as the goddess of civilization, beauty, and honor, but other peoples haven't historically known her as that. She's been more a god of war. I could get into its own episode, the Myrmidia. I did a bit of reading today on her. She's pretty interesting on how she gets to be a more warlike figure for a lot of people, and I think it has a lot to do with this, the downfall of the city of Tylos.
Okay.
But yeah, she makes a covenant with a mortal man, and she agrees to help. With the two of them together would build a great city for his tribe, and Tilius would name it Tylos after himself. The narcissism would not stop there, though. Tilius was an okay leader, but he certainly had his faults, one of which I assume was terribly inferior genetics in one very specific male department, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
So
he's got really little eyebrows.
Yeah, dude. Just the worst, thinnest, most feminine eyebrows, which every man hates.
He can't grow a mustache, pussy. He's just got like all of his statues have like a carved in like marble patchy beard, and you're just like, yeah. I can't believe they kept that.
Or he can grow a mustache, but it just looks like a little penis.
He's got a little dick under his nose.
Yeah.
five little dicks just like ranging out from the center.
Yeah.
No, so his insecurity is showing through. Tilius decided he wanted to outshine the most ancient of races with his new city, and he dreamed of surpassing the slender white structures of the southern elves. So elves in Warhammer, they build these white towers, like alabaster towers, which like reach into the sky. And Tilius is like, you know what? I want to do one better. Their towers are small. Their towers are wussy towers. I'm going to build a nice, big, girthy tower. Okay. So he orders his people to build the tower.
The man tall and small.
The man who's insecure about his manhood makes the biggest phallic object. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's open so, carry, too. He's got a gun on his hip all the time.
All the time. And it's an unnecessarily large gun, you know, way too big to kill a mouse, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you'd never be able to strap it to the wall at the end of the night to get the rats out.
It's a tiny shaft, or like a, what do you call it?
The barrel?
Part that you hold on to is small, but the barrel is real long, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he orders his people to build a tower tall and girthy enough to make the elves blush. Okay. This is gonna be called a few things, just the Great Tower, the Great Cathedral, stuff like that. It has a couple different names. It's basically gonna be this like large temple, and then it's gonna have this like tower on top to kind of make it taller. When they were building skyscrapers in the mid 1900s and mid 1800s in New York, there was all these competitions to make the biggest tower, and a lot of people didn't recognize some towers because people would just put radio towers on top of them to make them taller and be like, look, mine's taller than yours now, you know?
Okay, it's like spiking your hair up.
Yeah, exactly. Like platform shoes and vertical stripes on all your clothes just to seem taller kind of thing. So that's kind of his plan.
Seem taller?
Sorry?
I don't know if it actually does, but that's what I've heard.
Oh. Does horizontal stripes make you seem wider?
Yeah.
It's the exact same concept, yeah.
Yeah, oh, so you won't see a lot of clothes with vertical stripes because it makes people look fat. Is the reasoning behind it.
Vertical or horizontal? That's why
horizontal, sorry.
Okay.
Horizontal.
Okay.
Is the theory anyway. I don't know if I've ever noticed the difference, but you know.
Yeah.
They say the camera adds 10 pounds, they say vertical or horizontal stripes adds 15.
Yeah, no vertical video or no horizontal videos because it makes you look fatter.
Dude, I thought it was eating and lack of exercise, but Anyways.
No, just the clothing, actually.
Okay. Strips and cameras. Avoid them both and you're good, man.
All right, I'm fine. Nice.
Cool. Jamie's camera cuts off in the middle of this video call. Sorry, guys. Can't risk it. So we got a guy, Tilius, building a massive tower to pierce the heavens and outshine the elves to the south. He's trying to build the... It is quite a city, Tylos. It's like quite large and expansive. It's considered the greatest city of its time at the time. But now his capstone, his, you know, crowning achievement is going to be this monument, essentially. And the construction of it is huge in scale. It will outlive him. It's going to take generations to complete. So this is like his parting gift to his people is like build it and they will come.
Is it a functional cathedral or is it just like an obelisk?
I'm sure it is. I don't see a lot of reference to the great cathedral itself or the great temple itself. It's more kind of the ensuing events around it that seem more important.
At the top, is there like a rotating OK restaurant like in the CN Tower?
Yeah, exactly. It's an OK restaurant, but they way overcharge.
Yeah.
So Myrmidia, the goddess who helped him, recognizing toxic masculinity when she sees it, decides to wash her hands of the whole thing and abandons Tylos, claiming she would return when his people knew honor again. Tylius's people knew honor again. So she's like, hey, dude, this is hubris. This is like way over the top. You're being an asshole. Just stop this madness and just be like normal, good people. I'm the goddess of beauty. I'm the goddess of honor. I'm the goddess of civility or civilization. Just like chill and like we're good. And he's like, you know what? That's great advice, but I'm going to build my tower. And she's like, cool. I'm going to leave. Yeah. You know, this is not a safe space for me. So
just learn to go down on chicks, dude, to compensate. You didn't need to ruin your economy building this tower. compensate in ways, your ways, man.
So that's kind of the myth behind the creation of Tylos. Okay. Now we can get into the quote-unquote facts, a little more hard dates and what we know for sure about it. So it was founded at some point between negative 2500 and negative 2000 on the imperial calendar. So you guys might remember we did a three-parter on Sigmar Umbarogen. His kind of transition from Warhammer Fantasy to Age of Sigmar, which is the new setting, new world, essentially.
Right.
After the destruction of the original Warhammer Fantasy world, the Imperial Calendar, year zero, is the birth of Sigmar. So this is 2,500 to about 2,000 years before Sigmar Umbarogen is born, essentially.
Okay.
So around that, somewhere between there, and again, it's hard to know because it was just so gosh. Long ago, Tylos becomes a well-trafficked trading post between the humans who had settled there and the wandering dwarf clans of the Black Mountains. This is, we've jumped back to the beginning, so this is before any talk of building the tower, but presumably at this point, Tylos had spoken to Myrmidia or prayed to Myrmidia and started building his city.
Okay.
And there's these dwarfs that kind of live in the area in the not bladed marsh. or the Black Mountains nearby, and they start to wander down, and they recognize there's a human settlement there, and some trades to happen. They seem to get along okay. So fans of the Warhammer Fantasy setting, and again, I wouldn't expect you guys to have called this out because you haven't called it out yet. But just for the dates, this puts the founding of Tylos before the War of the Beard, which is a pretty important event. It's a very important event in the Warhammer Fantasy canon. The city itself
was a war started because
like
a
very
guy...
small part. Like,
wait, it was a war started because a guy wasn't really that into his wife, and he was actually gay.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Guy who's gay, and then got married for
like Helen. It's like Helen of Troy, but she's just his friend, and they get married for like for the posterity.
I don't know if Troy, if Agamemnon was gay, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what we're saying. So the War of the Beard is a pretty in-depth, and it's like a global spanning conflict or whatever. The founding of Tylos comes just before that, or whatever, 500 years before that, and kind of goes throughout it without much incident. But if anybody would like to hear more about the War of the Beard, just follow the Discord link in the description of this episode and send us a request there, and I can make sure to get it for you guys.
It sounds really dwarf specific. I'm surprised it's like a world war.
So it's between the dwarfs and the elves, who are like the two oldest races, or not the two oldest races. The Slann are the oldest race, but it's between the dwarfs and the elves, and it everybody gets, or a lot of people get involved. Maybe not everybody gets involved, but a lot of people end up getting involved.
Right. So
during the war, though, war doesn't come to Tylos as far as I could tell, but some of those dwarf clans who had kind of been in the Black Mountain and just been like in their own fastnesses, some of them do come to Tylos and end up settling in the city. So it becomes a city of man and dwarf, which in Warhammer Fantasy is very uncommon, if not unheard of at the time.
Okay.
It's probably still relatively unheard of right now. Other races don't settle in other races' cities. It's just not a thing that Warhammer Fantasy races do, it seems. So
they cooperate
kind of
in some capacity, though, right? But they don't, like, you don't move in to like the dwarf neighborhood or the dwarf cul-de-sac or whatever because the rent's good.
You have to use different different drinking fountains, but not because like they don't
they're
want
so much lower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a height thing. It's just a height thing.
Yeah. So it seems like they do cooperate somewhat, but like even humans and elves, like they don't get along very well. Humans and dwarves don't get along very well. Like they definitely war at times. Everybody wars with everybody in Warhammer, and they're friendlier than with a lot of the chaos races. And there's definitely alliances that exist, but it's just rarer that you have like huge cul-de-sacs of dwarves in a human city. This might be again the first time that it happens, which is kind of proof of the splendor of this city, just like how amazing it was, is the fact that, you know, dwarves were working together. With the help of the dwarves, the city thrives even more. It grows faster than ever as like humans and dwarves are sharing, you know, advances in architecture and engineering and all these different practices.
Picking hands in broad daylight.
Yeah, exactly. they invent this amazing invention called the stepping stool. The humans invent it so the dwarves can reach the drinking fountains. And, you know, just so they can brush their teeth, you got to get out the little plastic stool and put it next to the sink, essentially. So the fictional book, which I've referenced already in this episode, The Doom of Khavzar, opens by describing the utopia in some detail. So I'm going to give you guys a quote now.
Okay.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, men and dwarfs lived together beneath the roof of one great city. Some said it was the oldest and greatest city in the world and had existed before the time of the Longbeards and Manlings, built by older and wiser hands in the dawn of the world. The city lay both above and below the earth, in keeping with the nature of the populace that dwelt there. The dwarves ruled in their great halls of stone below ground and wrestled the fruits of the rock free with their day-long toil, while the manlings reaped the fields of swaying corn that surrounded the city with a patchwork blanket of gold. The sun smiled, men laughed, and everyone was happy. One day, the men decided that they should give praise to their gods for their good fortunes. They planned a temple such as the world had never seen before. In the central square, a colossal hall would be built and topped with a single, cloud-piercing tower. A tower so tall, it would touch the very heart of the heavens. After much planning, and with the help of the Longbeards, they set about their monumental task. So, this is obviously the tower that we got from the last little bit. It's two different mythologies. Why I think, and I probably could have looked this up, why I think the Doom of Khavzar is written by a dwarf instead of a human, is because the creation myth seems to be different, right? Where the city, when you listen to the humans, it's, you know, this amazing human founded it and built it with the help of his god and then decided to create the tower. No mention of the dwarves at all. And the dwarves are like, yeah, you know, the city was already here. It was, you know, beautiful, built by an elder race. And then we were all getting along together and the humans decided to go to embark on this fool's errand. And we decided to kind of help them.
We'll sell them our rocks, basically, is.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
We're not doing anything with them.
We'll trade rocks for food and let them build their crazy tower into the sky.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know why. I don't think this is pretty. You can't eat these rocks and they just keep giving us corn down here. I don't get it.
A tower into the sky must be a strange concept for a dwarf, too, who, like, they all live underground. They're like, why are you going up? You're going the wrong way, dude.
Yeah, whoa, 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 that's too high. You're going to hit the ceiling. It's like, you guys don't have ceilings? What?
Wait a minute, did we get the short end of this stick?
Something that made me think, we're talking about corns and rock together, like a way that they figured out like way, way long ago that like people in South America were eating corn is that they had ground down teeth because they were crushing their corn with rocks and the powder went into the corn. Of like the rock powder, so over time of them eating this ground corn throughout their life, it would like file their teeth down.
Wow.
So all these skeletons that they found, they had like the rounded teeth in the back because they used to eat corn that was ground by rocks.
And they figure it's because of the rock and corn.
Corn with sand in it was wearing their enamel down. That's neat. That's how they figure out like dinosaur diets as well, which is your animal fact of the day, is like an animal that subsisted on like bark has like worn out teeth compared to something that had ate softer plants or meat.
Yeah. Well, if someone just ate sand all their life, maybe it would have given the same thing. So take that, scientists.
Yeah. Well, they weren't eating corn. They were eating sand the whole time.
Yeah. If you eat sand your whole life, I don't know if you live long enough to grind your teeth down, right? If
they all have little skeletons with ground down teeth.
Yeah. Those baby teeth are soft, man. Wear them right down.
What is it, you like knock a baby tooth out on a grain of sand? Like it just like pops down? Like would like different colored sand on your plate? You don't want different colored sand mixing in the same way that you don't want your mashed potatoes and your peas mixing when you're a kid. Like different colored foods can't touch.
I like a nice leafy green salad with a nice sand dressing.
Yeah,
you know, only Italian PEI red sand on my salad.
Yeah. That's like a Catalina dressing.
So, so we know it's sometime around negative 1860 IC, so like somewhere like 200 to 700 years after kind of the founding of the city,
right?
That work on the Great Temple begins. It's described as a structure massive enough to mock the sky. So it seems big. The doom of Khavsar continues. Yeah. Weeks became months, and months became years, and still the manlings built. Men grew old and gray working on that great temple, their sons continuing their work through summer sun and winter rain. At last, after many generations, work began on the great spire itself. Years passed, and the tower reached such a height that the manlings found it ever more difficult to take the stone up to the top. So naturally, when you build this, like, skyscraping monument to man's hubris, it's hard to take rocks all the way to the top. Have you ever tied rocks to your feet and walked all up all of the flights of stairs in a skyscraper? It's hard.
Yes, and I've seen Mulan twice.
Oh, good. Oh, then you know to just be a man.
Yeah, so well, exactly. Which is the point of this tower the whole time, right?
The whole point. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw people redo the brick on my four-story building, and it looked tough getting the brick just to the fourth story.
Like, exactly.
They had
yeah.
A lever and a bucket, and a guy just sweating and pulling on rope all day.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean,
like, no machines in 2021? Yeah. Did you go back in time? Like,
well, what are you going to do? Build a little elevator for just the four-story building? I don't know.
Well, you know that Jamie lives on that, like, Scissor in jet. That castle on an island that the road gets flooded by the tide every afternoon. So you know that they can't have machines out there to fix his house.
Tyre is the name of that. Also another city starting with a T-Y. How fun.
Tyre.
So eventually work slowed to a crawl, and finishing the tower seemed impossible. Then one came among the men who offered his help in their great scheme. He asked a single boon of them in return and claimed that if they would grant him this, he would complete his tower in a single night. So you're out there working with the boys, foremen, laborers, sweating it up, got a pulley, got a bucket, got some bricks, hauling those bad boys up there.
Jamie watching the whole time.
Yeah. When...
I would watch them. I'd have a cigarette and sit there with my dog and be like, man, my job's easy.
Yeah, yeah. So those guys were climbing this tower, sweating it up, and starting to despair. There's just like all these people who are just sitting at the bottom smoking cigarettes with their dogs, and they were like, why am I doing all this work? You know what I mean? This is bullshit. So they're starting to think that they won't be able to complete the tower to spec. And they don't, I guess, just want to cap it off where they are and say, like, hey, this is the tallest that we could build it. That's tall enough. Yeah. It literally has to touch the clouds, which it's not doing yet.
Yeah. So then well, this some angle shadowy figure up at, right? Sorry. Never mind. Carry on.
some shadowy figure shows up and is like, you know what? I can finish it for you. One night. It's all I need.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you guys think they say, I guess?
No one says, this is too good to be true. I can guarantee that is not a, that is not a quote from this fake book.
Yeah, they shake hands and sell their souls to the devil or whoever we're selling his soul to.
Yeah, I mean, his boon isn't even that. So the manlings said to themselves, what have we to lose? And offered to make a bargain with the gray-clad stranger. Yeah. All he wished was to add his own dedication to the gods onto the temple structure. The manlings agreed, and bargain was struck.
He's going to give it balls.
Hell yeah, dude. Balls and pubes.
At the top. which is the thing that fucked up the whole tower. Yeah. Like, so they get a monorail out of this whole thing too, right? Like it's Lyle Landman.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, he's clad in gray, but he's not like a proto rat, right? Like he's visibly human.
He's a man.
Okay.
He's just a man. And I mean, he's just a man. Again, this is like a mythological retelling.
Okay.
It's like an inaccurate in canon history. I don't know if this is the actual story of what actually happened, but I thought it was the coolest, most interesting one, and we're going to say that it was. I cannot find more info on this gray-clad stranger. If one of the listeners knows what it is, you know, let us know in the Discord channel.
Yes.
Or in an email. We're still planning a mailbag someday where we'll read your emails.
Well, you had to get married and move, so it's really difficult to do, Ethan.
Exactly. Let's not act like Jamie didn't have to take 2 weeks off to play World of Warcraft, too.
That's true. Hey, dude, there's a lot of gamer culture in here. I was in the weeds, you know, planning my next episode.
Yeah.
You're doing research for the show, really. So. So the account continues. At dusk, the stranger entered the unfinished temple and bade the manlings to return at midnight. Clouds swept over the moons, cloaking the temple in darkness as the manlings left. All over the city, men watched and waited as the hours slipped past until, near midnight, by ones and twos, they gathered again in the temple square. The wind blew and the clouds parted as they gazed up at the temple. It rose like an unbroken lance against the sky, pure and white. At its very peak, a great horned bell hung gleaming coldly in the moonlight. The stranger's dedication to the gods was there, but of the stranger himself, there was no sign.
Uh-oh.
So, again, we don't know the tale in the Doom of Khazar is true, but we do know that the completion of the temple coincided with great flares from Morslub, the moon made of warpstone that the Skaven worship.
Right.
The green moon seemed to be showing up around the time that the temple was completed in the in actual canon, not like fictional retelling canon. And this guy has built a bell with horns, which fits a lot of motifs that the Skaven follow. So this might be in the actual canon, but I'm choosing to believe that the man was actually the Great Horned Rat, managed to shapeshift himself somehow with his power. He's a god. We said in the last one, he's a god as old as time itself, as far as we know. So I like to think that he showed up and is like, you know what? Rat is going to be my thing. And this is kind of when he chose rats as his as his chosen people, you know? when did you choose rat? Speak to your doctor about rats today.
Side effects may include the gnawed bones of thousands of dead.
Yeah. And gunshots in the night.
it definitely does seem like the horned rat would have arrived in like a weakened state and used his residual magical powers to summon himself, I guess.
Yeah.
But it also fits with the motif of the tower, because the whole tower was a way to compensate, and now it's like it's kind of like a monument to his hubris as well. Like, haha, look at what I managed to do here.
Exactly. And he just steps in at the end, like a group project, puts his name on it, says, yeah, you know, I was lead on this one, and takes all the credit for it.
Mice and rats, they tend to stay in the basement, so if you build a building big enough, then your basement ratio just gets so much bigger, I feel like. So there's so much more
basement
room. Yeah, exactly. it's like 10 floors of basement at that point.
Yeah. A tower, tower of basements.
Yeah.
All good theories. So many meteors are falling from that floating portent. And within a year, the city is completely overrun by a tide of vermin of unusual size and viciousness. But more on that after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
From the Doom of Kavzar, the Manlings rejoiced that their father's father's work was done. They surged forward to enter the temple. Then, at the stroke of midnight, the great bell began to toll. Once, twice, thrice. Slow, heavy waves of sound rolled across the city. 4, 5, 6 times the bell rang, like the torpid pulse of a bronze giant. 7, 8, 9... The rolling of the bell grew louder with each ring, and the Manlings staggered back from the temple steps, clutching their ears. 10, 11, 12, 13. At the 13th stroke, lightning split the skies and thunder echoed through the night. High above, the dark circle of Morslib was lit by a bright flash, and all fell ominously silent. The Manlings fled to their beds, frightened and puzzled by the portents they had seen. Next morning, they arose to find that the darkness had come to their city. Brooding storm clouds reared above the rooftops, and such rain fell as had never been seen before. Black, like ash, the rain fell and puddled in the streets, slicking the cobbles with darkly iridescent colors.
Oh no, I can't believe that mysterious stranger who offered to solve our problems immediately and asked no payment has betrayed us somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Evaporated all our Coca-Cola, and now it's just raining uselessly into the streets.
A carbonated pool, like, on the ground, still bubbling.
No, the Mentos factory next to the orphanage. Get them out of there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what happened when you build too close to the sun, man.
Yeah, that's what Icarus was about, right? Icarus and Daedalus.
The Doom of Kavzar, also known as the Curse of 13, tells the story of the downfall of Tyros, a once thriving city of dwarf and man. So when the Great Temple was completed by the mysterious stranger, the Great Bell rested at its peak. When that Great Bell rang 13 times, the fortune of humans was changed. You guys will remember from the last episode on Skaven that 13 is the holy number of the Great Horned Rat as well. Kind of a thing. He's got like 13 secret poems to him and stuff, and his all his dozens are baker's dozens.
Exactly.
Yes.
13 muffins.
Yeah. This cursed.
So despite these foul warnings, the black sludge-like rain was not enough to dampen their spirits. The men waited for the rain to abate so they could complete the finishing touches on the Great Temple and then celebrate its completion after all this time. They're still hopeful. They're like, you know what? That was fucking weird. But temple's done. We've been working on it for generations now. Finally finished. Was a weird thing at the end. But, you know, we'll let the rain stop. The black rain stop. And we'll go
I think the city probably like predates meteorology, so they were probably just like, that was odd. Hope it doesn't happen again next fall or whatever. Scrub it off.
Look at the forecast there, Pete. It looks like we have, another millennia of black torrid rain coming. Make sure to
get those sucks,
folks.
Now back to the international news desk where Squirrel has done something cute.
This week in Blitzball. Blood Bowl. Yeah,
The Blood Bowl. Yeah.
So they're waiting for the rain to stop, but the rain did not stop. Instead, the storm grows fiercer, the winds increasing to an unrelenting gale. Lightning arcs down from the skies and shakes the high tower. Days become weeks, but the rain does not stop.
Uh-oh.
Pretty soon, they're not feeling so good about it anymore. They're getting fearful.
Guys, you said the rain did not stop, and then thunder came through my window. Right,
there is a thunderstorm rolling in right now. Man. Yeah,
I'm so immersed. Sorry to cut you off. I'm so immersed. Yeah.
Well, I hope that everybody listening to this is experiencing a thunderstorm right now.
a ceaseless torrential rainstorm. Yeah. Honestly.
So they become fearful, and they turn to what we all turn to when we're scared and we don't know what's going on. Religion, of course.
Yeah.
So they started to doubt that the weeks upon weeks of black rain was a good sign, and they take to praying. Each night, the bell sounded 13 times. Each day, the rain fell upon the city. When their prayers went unanswered, the humans of Tyros finally approached the dwarfs. The dwarfs lived underground, after all. There's no rain underground. So they're like, they're probably good, right?
I know what they're going to ask them to do. They're going to ask one of the dwarvens to make like a cannon. So once it rings the 13th time, you shoot the bell again. It rings 14 times.
14 times.
Curse over, dude, right?
Curse over, dude. If only you were there. If only the great mind of James Miller was there in Tyros to help them. Because I think you cracked this one, dude. Or just like knock down the fucking tower that's obviously the cause of all this. Like,
yeah.
Oh. They're kind of proud of it, you know. It's a nice tower. Yeah.
We're out of scaffolding. They're at the top of like a I don't know, 400 meter tall tower, and they got like all the scaffolding, and then they're just like on each other's shoulders, like all the way up. They have like a human pyramid on top of scaffolding, and they're just like 3 feet short of like
the last guy's a dwarf up there. He can't quite. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they've already used up all of the drinking fountain stools, so they're completely out there, like the total max. Yeah. Just he's got like a rake. He's trying to get it.
They go to the dwarves. The dwarves turn them away. While below the earth, they were warm and dry. So why should they be concerned with some humans caught in a little rain?
Yeah, what's going on up here? It's like, we call it weather, and it's been bad. We don't have time to explain any of those words, but we need your help.
Yeah. No, we're good. We don't have that weather down here.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy your bottomless ceiling or whatever.
I get the feeling that rats like to live underground, and the dwarves might not be so impartial soon. But
maybe
we'll see how it goes.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, we're gonna find out what happens to everybody in this story, so don't worry about it.
Good. Good.
They'll be praying for a bottomless ceiling in no time when they're, you know, crushed against theirs by rat bodies.
So the humans huddled in their dwellings, now constantly racked with fear and the overwhelming knowledge that something was coming. Some were sent away to faraway places where they might seek help, but no one returned, and no one came to help them. When they went to the temple to pray once more and sacrifice their dwindling food stores, they found the temples shut fast, and the rain did not stop. Dark hailstones began to fall, flattening the last of the crops. Each night, the great bell tolled a death knell over the terrified city. So the listeners at home, and I like to think that you guys have probably figured out that the city of Tylos is pretty doomed at this point.
Seems that way. Yeah.
It's not going great for them, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. Great stones start crashing down from the sky.
Is it warpstone meteors now?
Yeah. So warpstone meteors come crashing down, smash city rooftops and the surrounding countryside.
It'd be meteorites.
Oh, yes. You're right. Sorry. Let me just, can we, sorry, let's start over. I'm going to fix the script and then we'll take it from the top. That sound good?
Yeah.
I just watched a game show where they asked what's the difference between an asteroid, meteor, and meteorite. And,
meteorites
hit the ground. Still in space, and it's when it enters our orbit, it's a meteorite?
No, meteorites burn up on entry. Meteorites hit the ground.
Yeah, meteors burn up. Asteroids are just the ones that float around, and then meteorites hit the ground, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys might remember of Warpstone, it's like radiation, essentially. Like, it's plutonium, essentially. So people sicken quickly and die suddenly. Every baby born after the bell is completed is hideously twisted by all these different factors. Just the
bell-shaped hands.
Yeah, exactly. Horns for hands.
Yeah.
Horns for hands and rats for dicks, man. What can I say?
We know, when we look back, we know because they have little skeletons with horned hands and ground out teeth in the back. So
oh, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. And this kind of reminds me, there was like an anti-nausea medication that was really popular for a while called thalidomide. Caused like wicked birth defects. It kind of reminds me of that, where like they were like literally kids with just like shoulder wrist. And I don't know if we've mentioned this on this show before, but my YouTube deep dive ended up being like a 20-minute video essay about like the horror of thalidomide.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why we would have mentioned that on the show before.
Okay, just a palate cleanser. I found a YouTube channel. If you just do YouTube, go like guy who likes to clean out drains. He's just really into like rainfall in cities and where there's blockages and drains. So okay. he'll drive out there and he'll get there before the city does. And when like the flood's starting to come up and he like films cars going through a foot of water and he loves it. Then he brings a rake out and he clears all the drains. And look at that whirlpool bubbles coming up. We got that clean whirlpool. This will be drained 20 minutes.
Save these people.
Yeah, right. That's what these people needed.
Yeah, this
damn Coca-Cola rain.
Yeah, I found myself last night at about 4 a.m. playing World of Warcraft with just watching a guy clean drains on my second monitor, It was the most calming thing. Yeah,
thank God COVID's like waning at this point, because if this is the lowest point in your YouTube, I'd be happy.
bottom of the YouTube barrel.
Yeah,
no, this is peak content. You guys got to see.
So people are getting sick. Skulking vermin are devouring what stores of food remain. And the humans begin to starve.
They only have normal-sized cats as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the vermin do seem to be getting bigger. They're not Skaven yet. They're not like bipedal rat men yet. They're just big. They're still just big rats.
They're knuckle-walking rats. They're like somewhere in between. They're the missing
link.
Yeah.
They're like Pizza Rat from the internet, but a little bit bigger. Take a whole pizza instead of just a slice now.
A whole pizza, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The humans, getting desperate, return to the dwarves, this time demanding sanctuary. They're not asking anymore. They're saying, you got to let us in, okay? The long-bearded dwarves turn them away again, this time in anger. The dwarves told the humans that the lower levels were flooded, and now their stores of food had also been devoured by rats. There was barely enough left for the dwarves. So they're like, the humans go down. They're like, dude, okay, you didn't let me in last time, but let me in this time. They're like, you know what, dude? You're fucking rat friends. That fruit tree you brought from the south that had baby rats in it, and now the apartment building has rats? Yeah, they're in my apartment too now. Thanks a lot, asshole.
Yeah, it's like, why'd we go up to the surface and take one of their old futons off the corner? It was filled with rats.
Filled with rats, yeah. There was no batting inside it. It was just rats.
Oh, God. Oh, it's like a massage bed. Yeah.
I was just going to say, is this a massage food?
Oh,
it pinched me. You're just like bleeding from a rat bite.
Oh, man.
It's all like brown. You're like, oh, that's odd. Oh, well.
So the dwarves cast the humans out and bar their doors once more. And what was quickly becoming the ruins of Tyros, the days were becoming deadlier. Desperate, ignored by their own gods, the humans called for succor from the dark gods. Whispered names of forgotten demon princes became prayer, but even those wretched powers would offer no help. So they're getting desperate. They're like, save me, Satan. Save me, Buddha. Save me, any god that'll do it. Allah, you there, buddy? Ganesh, you there? You know?
Yeah.
Nobody's answering. They're dialing. Nobody's answering. Nobody's picking up the phone.
I mean, the devil's even a level even further down, so he's probably up to his ankles in, like, you know, Diet Coke rain at this point. He's just like, he's trying to bail it out. He's got cracks in the foundation. Like, it's a nightmare.
If you think mold smells bad, imagine the smell of moldy, like, weird black Coca-Cola falling onto hellfire and evaporating everywhere. It's a sauna down there of sugar and water.
Satan's just like the nice old man who's lived in that rent-controlled apartment in the basement since, like, the 40s, and the new upstairs neighbors have moved in and just completely destroyed his apartment. He's going to get kicked out, and they're gonna renovate the apartment, and it's gonna be triple the rent. It's like,
yeah,
can't relate, dude. I had water coming through my roof a couple weeks ago, and I'm in a rent controlled apartment right now. Yeah. Pretty much.
Just make sure that they don't have cause to renovate and you're fine.
Yeah.
So no one comes to help them but the tide of rats. The vermin returned bigger and bolder than ever. Slinking, furred bodies crept through the devastated city, infesting every nook and cranny. They feasted on the fallen, those too weak from hunger to continue, and pulled down the weekend to swarm over them, leaving naught but chewed bones in their wake. Still, oh, the rain
very
did
much
not
see, like, sorry, like the dust cloud that just like passes over, yeah, a civilian and leaves a skeleton behind.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Still, the rain did not stop, and still the bell tolled 13 each midnight. So the remaining humans are not feeling great about their situation. They feel pretty hunted in their own city, where once, you know, they had traps set up with large guns pointed at rat holes. The rats are now big enough that they have bigger guns pointing at human doorways. Instead of cheese, it's just a plate of nudie mags, and all the men in the city get killed. There was... go ahead.
No, it was not stuff. I was going to say like a hamburger or something. But anyways, yeah.
A hamburger of nudie mags. Yeah, it's just ground beef between two hustlers.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got the butt mags for the buns on the top and bottom.
Oh, nice. So there's no safety from the roaming bands of monstrously sized rats. Humans defend themselves where they can with whatever weapons they can. It doesn't seem like they have like a real militia or army or anything like that, but they're doing their best. They are dying in numbers, and the rats seem to be unending. More desperate than ever, the humans are getting ready to fight to survive, though they're kind of learning that they don't stand a chance against the unceasing swarms. They're not strong enough anymore because they're all half starved to death. And they know that they don't have enough food to just leave because they won't survive outside the city to get to the next town. They'll all die on the road.
They have to eat all the cheese that they're going to use for the traps. So things are looking real hopeless, right?
They keep getting shot. Yeah. Well,
they've left all the cheese under like little cages that fall down a post, and they can't outwit their own traps at this point.
Yeah.
So they've actually prevented themselves from retrieving the cheese, right?
Did you guys ever play that mousetrap game?
No, I only know one guy who owned it, and it was incomplete, so we tried putting it together once, and we didn't have all the parts.
I had it with my brother, but it, like, whatever version we got, it was so hair-sensitive that just by moving our pieces on the board, we would, like, trap the rat by accident, so we're constantly having to reset it over and over again.
Yeah, because you had vanilla mousetrap. You needed the 1.1 version.
Yeah. Well, my mom wouldn't let me have the one with the gun, so we just had the
name. Comes with that 37 revolver.
So by Milton Bradley.
Yeah, it was like by Smith and Wesson. Mousetrap. Yeah.
So the humans are getting desperate, and they know that they can't fight the rats. They don't have enough traps. The traps are too sensitive. They keep going off before the rats get there. They're just trying to move their pieces, aka themselves, and their traps keep going off.
Yeah.
But they do know that below them, there's these great halls that might have some food, might have some weapons, might have some stuff. So they're getting ready to go fight the dwarves. They say, we can't beat the rats. We're going to go beat the dwarves. We're going to get what we need, and then hopefully the situation will get better. Clearly not thinking very straight. Clearly getting pretty desperate.
They're all hangry, and it's been raining for, like, what, a year at this point?
Yeah. indeterminate, but let's say months to years.
Is it cannibalism if you eat a dwarf?
Okay, is it cannibalism if you eat a lizard person?
No.
So I would say no to dwarfs then either, because I think you're just as separated. Like,
if a lizard hatches from egg,
I think
it's like
a dwarf.
It's like a bird.
I think a dwarf would taste like really tough and probably a little pickled because they drink a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Huh.
Well, let's find out. Like?
Email us, contact at lordvoice.com.
You've eaten a dwarf.
Yeah, like what's your favorite flavor of dried dwarf jerky? Teriyaki. So,
more like teriyummy.
The humans fashion weapons, whatever weapons they can, and march on the entrance to the dwarven undercity. They beat those weapons against the stone and threaten the dwarves. If the dwarves would not help them, they would be dragged out of their fastness. No reply came, but perhaps the distant sound of rain continuing to fall. Taking up great beams, the humans battered down the doors, revealing dark and empty tunnels. gathering up what courage they had left, and with only beady black eyes behind them, what remained of the humans of Tyros descended into the dark. In those ancient halls, once a testament to the might of the dwarves, they found all that remained was gnawed bones and scraps of flesh.
This is the quote from the episode several weeks ago.
I mean, pretty much. There's a theme with these rats, and it's they don't leave much behind.
They're very traditional. They use every part of the person.
Nothing goes to waste. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Pete, we don't get to find out because there's not enough left for them to turn cannibal, dwarf cannibal.
Oh, I see.
So there by their dying torchlight, they saw the myriad eyes drawing closer. They stood back to back and fought for their lives, but against the mindless ferocity and unending numbers, their weapons were useless. They were overrun one by one, dragged down to be torn apart. Yellow chisel-shaped teeth sinking into their flesh, and the dark tufted masses of fur drowning their pitiful screams with hideous chittering.
Life.
That is basically the fall of Tyros. And now we're just going to real quick get into the rise of the Skaven in the aftermath of that, essentially.
Okay.
So that's the last of Tyros, the last of the beautiful human dwarf utopia coexist on everybody's bumper stickers, you know. No more.
Now all the letters are just shaped like rats. Yeah, exactly. It still says coexist, but there's all just rat bodies.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't like the end of that. That was kind of sad. Everybody died, you know?
Everybody dies. I mean, it's Warhammer. It's incredibly bleak. It's all grimdark. It's all sad all the time. Very edgelord stuff. So the masses of rats remain in the city, and slowly they become changed by the warpstone scattered across it. So kind of just they're like comic book. This is like a comic book advent where they're literally being changed by like radioactive rocks that fell from the sky to create Super Rat, you know?
Cheers to that.
Magic rocks. Sorry.
Magic rocks, yeah. The first true Skaven would emerge about 200 years later. They would be the new masters of the ruined city, which would come to be known as Skaven Blight, and would stand as the capital of the Skaven sprawling under empire. So in quote-unquote modern day Warhammer Fantasy setting, Skaven Blight is Tyros. To be Tyros anyway. But it could be another city that just fell to Skaven at some point as well. It's hard to tell.
Now, go ahead, you first.
I was gonna ask, did the Skaven, like, paleontologists, just like, this is thought to be the first Skaven, like, have a completely inaccurate paper of what they thought he might look like, because they had like one finger bone that they thought was a horn?
It's just straight up Mickey Mouse, like straight up Mickey Mouse. Steamboat Willie. Pete, you can't. I see you writing it down as an art idea. You can't draw Mickey Mouse. We will be sued by Disney.
I'm not going to draw Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
He was kind of racist back then too.
Willie. A reflection of the times for sure. And Walt Disney, problematic in his own right when it came to race.
Like 1910 too. So like the worst time.
We already talked about Thalamide. Yeah. I don't think we have to talk about racist Walt Disney on this episode as well.
So wait, there's another YouTube channel for a palate cleanser where this this really nice Christian man goes out in the woods and tries out survival equipment and makes fun of the metric system. You'll love it.
Okay.
Bastard.
this Skaven kind of, this is their, the Skaven Blight is the capital of their under empire. It kind of becomes the central location for what will eventually become this like sprawling empire that they have, but they're not there yet. They just have this one city. They're looking for more warpstone wherever they can get it. They look outside their city for a time, but they kind of realize that other races are problematic outside the city, so they don't really they don't get out much. They're still in quarantine, if you will. The Skaven quickly learn that the ruins of this city also cannot support their exploding population. They breed like rats, and they're just like all over each other, filth everywhere. Starvation, infighting, and disease become rampant throughout Skaven Blight during this time. And there's pressure in the city. You know, they have elected officials, and food and space are becoming less and less available.
Yeah.
So the Grey Seers, the priest class of the Skaven that we talked about on the first episode, and also kind of, you know, spiritual leaders and leaders, begin to look for an answer. And what would the priest class of the Skaven turn to for answers, if not Eldritch magic, right?
Giant bell.
Pretty much. It's going to be a giant machine of some sort, of the type that I described in the last episode in Total War, where it is a giant bell on wheels. It's not described as a bell in this one, but you can imagine it as a bell. It's just as good, I think.
A less advanced bell. It's really more of like a wind chime. It doesn't have the casing at this time. Yeah. It's just a bunch of clappers hanging down.
Exactly, yeah.
bell on wheels. It seems like if you get a bumpy road, you might accidentally summon a chaos god there.
Yeah. Oh, in Montreal, there's way more than 13 potholes, dog. We would be just inundated with black rain and rat people.
So again, the thought of venturing onto the surface is pretty quickly discarded when they're looking for more room for all the rat babies. It's simply too dangerous for this fledgling race. There's barbarian humans in the north and marauding greenskins, orcs. And even in their kind of early nascent stages, they know like those people could just wipe them out if they pay too much attention to this strange city full of ratmen. So instead, they do as the rat does, and they look below. The sorcerers, the gray seers, they devise this plan to build a great machine powered by warpstone and capable of carving out an empire massive enough to hold them. So they're like, we'll just build a machine we'll build the drill and drill ourselves an empire.
Yeah, it's like the thing that made that tunnel that goes through the English Channel, like one of those gigantic mole machines, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Those things are wild.
I think the wildest thing about that is they started drilling in France and England, and they met in the middle. It's like, how are you, if you're just underwater in a cave in rock, how do you like find the other drill so perfectly? You just line it up so perfectly. I have no idea how they do it.
Yeah, none of us are engineers. The most qualified guy here is Jamie, because he watched someone use a pulley this week. So
yeah. I remember I'd go to the beach and I would dig two holes in my arms at the same time. Yeah. I'd have a hard time meeting in the middle, even there.
Hard time finding those. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man.
You could see both ends, like.
Yeah. And so, feel with both hands.
And your heart, of course.
With every sandcastle, a little of your heart goes into it.
All to be washed away by the tide.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So deep. The Bourbon Tide. Anyway, back on track, baby.
Oh, perfect. There it is. So they're gathering warpstone. They gather all the warpstone that they have, basically. Like, you know, no-knock raids, turn out your pockets. You know, we need warpstone for the warpstone god.
They're hiding it in babies' diapers, and it's just like, no, give us that too.
Exactly, exactly. Oh my god, this rat baby's dick is a human. That's disgusting.
Help me.
Jesus.
So they build this machine, they're gathering all this warpstone, and the sorcerers begin an incantation. The diabolical device whirs to life, pulling in the energy from the ritual. Deep beneath Skaven Blight, the ground begins to rumble, drowning out the voices of the Grey Seers. High above, the great bell tolls once more while the tower which houses it sways violently. Then, the machinery they had built failed the Skaven. Charged by warpstone and the magic wielded by the Skaven, catastrophe followed. So I have one last quote for you guys to kind of round this one out. With a blinding white flash of pure malevolence, a tidal wave of raw magical energy swept through the underground chambers of the city and unleashed its power upon the foundations of the world. Tunnels collapsed, buildings fell, and the land began to heave and tremble. The entire undermined plain surrounding Skaven Blight sank as geysers of flame erupted from the tortured ground. The damage was even more devastating as the energy swept outwards. Soon, the whole of the old world began to crumble as the titanic force erupted in all directions. The world's edge mountains began to buckle under the relentless assault as the surging energy crashed against the spine of the entire mountain range. Great tidal waves rose from the ocean and washed over all in their path. Long dormant volcanoes erupted to life from the east, and the lands there, were forever scarred by geysers, lava, and earthquakes. To the dwarves of the everlasting realm, their very civilization was being destroyed right in front of their eyes. The catastrophe was an ill-prepared event, and all those that knew about that horrible time remembered only as the time of woes. So, wow. What I love about this period is every race kind of has their own canon, what they think caused the time of woes, and it was the Skaven building this machine. Like the Slann, who are the lizard people, who are the oldest race in Warhammer Fantasy, they think it's like, oh, our magicians were doing their own ritual, and it was for sure that which caused it or whatever.
I like that, though. So, like, Telos made the big old phallic object, right? Mm-hmm. And its ultimate end was a magic girthquake. Yeah. Took it all down.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. just a big old eruption for the whole gosh dang world. But it's kind of a reset button for a ton of people where like full chaos because everything's destroyed. So for good or for ill, the Skaven had now made themselves known to the other races of the old world as everyone's kind of scrambling to figure out what the fuck happened. And in the wake of all that, they kind of have an opportunity to now expand, right? There's kind of fissures underground where there weren't before, where the Skaven can get to. The other races are weakened, so they have their opportunity. And that's Skaven part two. I hope the listeners at home enjoyed it. I hope you, Jamie, enjoyed it. Peter, give or take. For anybody who did like the episode and wants to let us know, Discord's the best way to do it. Links are in the description of this episode. You can also reach out to us at contact@loreboys.com. We'll get back to you eventually on email right away on Discord.
The thing with the mailbag is like the more emails you guys send, the bigger mailbag you get because that's like the chunks we do it in. Yeah. So like ultimately, I am sorry that we haven't done it sooner, but
yeah, we won't make the content. You make the content. All
life
right?
do be Come crazy on. Sometimes. Yeah.
There's a really cool thing going on in the Discord too. Like Bison started up a gaming like community type night thing, and honestly, all of my shit has been muted for 2 weeks because I've been lost in Azeroth. But it seems like there's developments there. So if you guys like us and like this type of stuff, there's going to be like minded folk playing games with you in the Discord.
Yeah,
so it's really
cool. we have a Minecraft server. We have Xbox groups, Steam groups. We have Bison's hosting the first communal D&D game, which is a lot of fun. I'm hoping to make it Wednesday, so the day after this, or Thursday, sorry, the day after this release. Jamie, did you have any other YouTube channels you wanted to plug other than ours on this episode?
Dude, mundane like YouTube channels that just do like those are the best, man. If you guys have them, please send them to me because I really enjoy that stuff. People who are really passionate about the most random shit is the best. Like, anyways, yeah. I don't have anything to plug.
Cool. Pete, anything you want to talk about?
At Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. Come and say hi. That's where you can catch your pictures. Check out the old squared idea for any of your comic book needs, anything like that. I feel like there was something else I needed to plug, but theloreboys.com. I'll figure it out. If you guys have any interest in merch, I've been updating the store fairly slowly, just depending on what's been created. If there's anything you want on a mask or on a t-shirt or just to exist in general, like as a sticker, let us know. The turnaround on merch is really quick, thankfully, so you can have it within a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. The prices are what they are. I have no idea what percentage we even make off those. It's purely just for you guys who want t-shirts, pretty much.
Like, yeah.
If you guys want to buy them. If not, it doesn't cost us anything, so don't worry about it.
And that's tpublic.com/theloreboys if you're interested. Or, again, frankly, like the center of our universe is Discord. So loreboys.com/about. Get on the server. We're all, we all orbit it kind of constantly. So
definitely the best way to get in touch with us.
Oh, yeah.
We're starting up mid-roll ads, too. If any of you guys in the Discord, let us know what ads you get. I'm really curious as to, like, what regional stuff and what you're interested in and how that kind of gets spit out since it's...
I do know of one was, like, a physical therapy clinic in Chicago was one that someone got hit with today.
Beautiful. And I'm pretty sure he's in Connecticut, so I don't know why he's getting that. But...
No.
So we do want you guys' feedback on that kind of stuff, too. We, are interested in, investing back into the show. We were bouncing around some ideas on things that we can do to make it a better experience for you guys. But if the ads themselves are like super annoying or super distracting or super whatever, please just like let us know that you find them annoying and we can revisit like how we want to do this.
Yeah.
So we need your guys' feedback. We need your guys' help in that case. Speaking of monetizing and supporting the show, though, we do have a Patreon as well, patreon.com/theloreboys. You can head there. We have a couple different tiers that offer a couple different things, but pretty much all of them get you most of the benefits that we actually deliver on. So,
On the subject of Patreon, I've been putting a lot of time into like kind of sexing up the tiers to increase the value of your purchase and not actually increase our revenue. So if there's anything you want to suggest that like, hey, I'd love to see this in my tier, let us know again on Discord and I will take a look and see how feasible it is. Yeah.
Jamie like, cuts really his toenails. Give me those, right?
Like, yeah. Jamie, where do you cut your toenails? Do you do it in the tub or do you do it in the sink?
I do it.
Trash? toilet.
I most often do it like when I'm actually on the couch, when I'm watching a movie or something. That's when I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like picking at my own feet and I'm like, oh, I got to cut my nails. And then I'll cut them there and I'll pull them up and throw them in the trash.
Yeah, I don't have a vacuum, so that terrifies me. I put one foot like all the way up on the sink. So like my knee is up at my shoulder. And then I just have like one foot on the rim of the sink, and that's how I cut my toenails.
I'm not even sure
on the rim of the toilet.
Rim of the toilet, yeah, that's
good. I mean, like obviously, I need the lowest drinking fountain out of all of us, so that's why I use the toilet because it's the lowest one.
Oh, I should use
the
bathroom.
But it's also instant disposal.
Maybe we'll cut this section out and just make it a Patreon exclusive. I don't know. Maybe we won't. I'm also thinking of cool things that we can do for the patrons. So the Doom of Kavzar was something that I did a lot of quotes and reading from. We were thinking about doing maybe a dramatic reading of it, and maybe that's the kind of thing that you could see on Patreon in the future. If this kind of stuff interests you, head to patreon.com. Feel free to leave us comments there or Discord, and just shout at us in the Discord. And we'd be happy to try and accommodate you. And of course, we always offer the Lore Boys Prime bonuses, which are kind of exist separate from Patreon, but kind of similar in principle at the very least. So we have been collecting Jamie's toenails. He's the only one who holds on to them long enough for any of us to get any kind of use out of them. Pete's obviously right into the toilet, mine down the sink. I tried to contact the guy who likes unclogging drains to unclog my bathroom sink so he could get my toenails out of it.
Because he just shows up with his iPhone and a rake.
You can't cut that other shit out. That's not gonna make any sense.
So we are trying to build a monument out of toenails, and we are willing to sell it to the highest donor in Lore Boys Prime this month. Whoever donates the most will get Jamie's toenail sculpture in the mail. It's extremely phallic. About what you'd expect from Jamie's toenails.
The best part about this too is like a tree where you can count the rings and like tell a history. every story of this mountain of monument will tell a story of my life when I ate that week.
God, no. What he was watching on the couch when he clipped his toenails, there's a little bit of that in there.
Yeah, YouTube, your YouTube history stays in your hair, so that's why you shouldn't do it.
There's a very distinct clownfish colored toenail from when he was watching Finding Nemo.
Right.
There's, you know, all sorts of little Easter eggs in there that you guys can pick out at your leisure. It's gonna be kind of like a shadow auction, so you guys won't be able to see what other people are bidding. So bid high is all I can say. If you want the toenail sculpture, and I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Oh. Post roll out.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.